from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
On the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heaven.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are live at Hooters, guys. The Taj Mahal of Hooters,
yes,
up here at the Mall of Georgia. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Mike Bell, coming off of a weekend in which the Braves let us down.
Oh.
The Falcons, all right, did not win, but it's about getting the work in. I'm not concerned about the dub. I wanted to get the work in. I think they did a good job of that last week. We're going to talk about what we saw, what they need to improve as we head towards week two of the preseason. It's Saturday, by the way, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Ravens and Falcons will get it on noon, by the way, Mike. Noon kickoff on Saturday, and then they'll have one more preseason game, obviously, at home. It's the only one we get, and then we'll get past this, guys, and we can focus on the regular season. But, Mike, the injuries that occurred this weekend are going to affect this football team.
Yeah, man, I just hate to lose. We'll start with the guy that you and I don't speak for you, but I think we were in agreement. This guy looked the part, and that's Braylon Trice. Rookie out of Washington, you know, he was a guy that I think slipped a little bit in the draft. I think there was projections based on what I saw in the combine. They thought he'd go higher than he did, but that was our gain. But this guy just, he looks the part of like a badass outside linebacker, edge rusher. He just got that, they got the mentality, he's got the physicality, and we love talking. The interview we had with him was one of my faves of this camp.
I agree.
So I really feel for the guy because, as you said, now he's going to go all the way back to next year and do the rehab and then try to get some traction with an NFL career.
Yeah.
But a guy we were expecting him to be this is a guy I think I can't speak for the coaching staff, but I think you and I thought he'd be a big part of this thing this
year.
Well,
he was going to see significant snaps, right? Some people keep asking me, like, okay, what does that mean? That means he was going to be a major part of your rotation. Is he a starter maybe midway through the season? It's very possible he could have been.
Right.
The other guy that was going to see significant snaps, and this is where it hurts us, is DeMarco Helms, guys. We talked to Helms just a couple of weeks ago. Now, coach said today he will be out a significant amount of time, but he's not out for the season. The other guy in Trice is done. And so you say, okay, well, what does it mean now? Well, it means the Falcons are trying to figure this out, which is why they brought in Pro Bowler free agent Justin Simmons for a visit. He already visited the Saints, Mike. It doesn't mean they're going to sign him, but we'll see. They also are looking at some other options, but basically they know that they've been hurt in the area of depth on the D-line and certainly now in the secondary where you had two young players that you were counting on to at least help you, be superstars. And now what do you do? And how do you fill the void? And maybe there's a couple of guys on this team, Mike, that steps up, and it is next man up. We'll see.
Now, I know that the reason they're not going to say they don't like Richie Grant, but you can tell the way the vibe is, they were higher on DeMarco Helms as that guy. Helms kind of established himself, we thought, in the second half of last year. And again, another guy that just looks the part, sounds the part, and you hate to see him banged up like that. We have been bellyaching real quick about the secondary. You brought it up earlier. I thought that Kevin King certainly looks like a guy that, doesn't look like doesn't belong. He almost had two picks in that Miami. He had one pick. And Antonio Hamilton Jr. they seem to like as well. So we've been focused a lot on Mike Hughes. Yeah. Maybe they like the overall vibe in that corner room, and maybe it's not as bad as we think. Maybe that's where we're going. But either way, still think corner's a need. Edge is definitely a need. And just real quick, we talked a lot about it earlier. Listeners going bananas on our text line. We can't answer all the texts, but a lot of guys are saying, look, Hassan Reddick said, trade me, get rid of me. Jets are saying, no way. Falcons were at least listed as one of the teams. There were three or four that were interested in Hassan Reddick before the Eagles made the trade earlier this year.
Well, the Jets are now saying that they made an offer to him prior to the trade with Philly as far as a contract, because they said they knew that his contract needed to be addressed. Now, I think this is a little backtracking for me. This is Joe Douglas trying to make himself look better than what actually he is in a deal where he went, yeah, we'll do the deal, and then now they can't figure it out. But they went ahead and did the deal, all right? And this is reporting that's out there fresh, like in the last 10 minutes, that Reddick attended his press conference with the understanding that a contract talks would continue. But no proposal was made. So they apparently offered him a deal before the trade. Oh, we'll take care of you.
Right.
We're going to trade for you.
I'll sign off on this trade. I'll go to the Jets.
He goes, has his press conference, and then now there's been nothing. So that's where it stands. And that's why Reddick has not been with the team at minicamp or training camp. Makes total sense to me, Mike.
Look, Reddick is where do you want to quantify it? Top six, top eight?
Agreed.
You know, defensive end, edge rusher.
Certainly over the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's established himself as a guy that gets the quarterback on the ground. He wants big money. We looked at it earlier, guys. The highest paid edge rushers right now, Bosa's getting $34 million. Miles Garrett's getting $25 million. So pick a number between 25 and 34, and that's probably what Hassan Reddick's going to want. Maybe he wants Brian Burns money across town with the Giants at $28.2
million. Yes.
So if you bring him in, you got to make some space. Yes, that would mean restructuring some pieces. Maybe, yes, you'd release a few players. A lot of our audience, not trying to be mean-spirited, but some of the things they're suggesting just don't work. Like, well, we give the Eagles a fifth and a sixth rounder. Guys, if they're going to go through all this rigmarole, the Jets are going to want a second rounder minimum.
Absolutely.
For this guy, because he's that kind of a talent. And then we don't have as much money as other teams. We can make some money, but then it gets us into that situation where now you're paying guys beyond their contract because you've given them bonuses and you've restructured their deal.
No doubt about it. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, we're going to talk about the Dawgs. AP poll came out. They are the number one team heading into the season, which is just a few weeks away. And we'll talk more about what happened at Georgia Tech. Big day for Tech. That is on the way. Let's hear from Brandon Dorlis, Mike, because he was talking about Grady and how big of a help Grady's been. And we'll let you hear what Jerry Gray also had to say about the preseason and why it's important for these young players. He's the assistant head coach, also DB's coach, and Gray's been around the league for a very long time. But this is Brandon Dorlis, Mike, talking about Grady's influence.
I knew he wasn't the biggest guy, but to see how he moves and like how he takes on block at that size and the twitch he has, you know, it's very very interesting. So like I try him like from his game, cause I feel like, you know, that's the same as me. I'm not the biggest guy. You know, I feel like I'm very twitchy, but like just to see how he just holds himself, you know, even when after a lost rep, you know, this is his mindset, just very, you know, he's still like, okay, next play mentality. I feel like that's one thing I can really take from.
Yeah, you need vets out there, man, who know what they're doing, who know how to get it done, and this is how guys learn in the National Football League. Dorlis now, Mike, I'm not going to say there's more pressure on him, but we expected Dorlis, Rook,
right,
and Trice to be contributors. Two of those guys obviously are still healthy and they're fine, but does this mean that he needs to do more? I just think he needs to do what they expect him to do.
Man, it drives me crazy because we spent how many times in this offseason that we were talking about the Rams draft class that, you know, that we know that our coach Raheem was involved in,
right,
because he was the DC back then. And we talked about Byron Young and Kobe Turner. And those guys came in and had immediate impact. And that's what we were kind of, fair or unfair, projecting Ruka Rojo, Braylon Trice, and to a lesser extent, Dorlis to be those guys. So one of them is now gone. And you won't get it back till next year. It sucks.
Jerry Gray talked about why the preseason is important to young players. Ra was saying after the game against the Dolphins, listen, this is why guys don't want to play in the preseason. But Jerry Gray said, listen, it is important. Listen to this.
Well, you know, I thought the young guys did a good job, you know, understanding what they're trying to do. Good thing that we're trying to, you know, just get them to understand the process. And that's where trust builds. Hey, look, are you doing your job? Are we asking you to do what you're supposed to do? And when we go in there and grade the film, that's exactly what we've seen them guys doing.
Yeah, I'm with him. It's just there's a balancing act with this. And by the way, you know, you're going to see more and more teams. We talked a lot about this last week, Mike. Teams going, oh, yeah, we're going to play our starters for a series. And then those guys were up out of there. We didn't even start our game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Guys on the offensive side, and we still had some things transpire. You say this all the time. You can't put these guys in bubble wrap. I agree. You've got to try to play them, and especially young guys who need the experience.
But in the case of Bijan Robinson, he looks great in camp. And the thing is, and I said this earlier to the audience, you didn't get to see those workouts. We didn't get to see the workouts in Miami. We just get things to report from the Miami reporters and so the Atlanta guys that were there. But they got work in. Bijan Robinson looked great. Bijan had 3 touchdowns in red zone stuff today. I mean, literally. Bijan, maybe our second and goal, but it was from the 10, and they had 2 big runs, yeah. 2 touchdowns. He looks great. Algier looks great. I don't need to see Bijan play against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. Don't.
No.
No way, Jose.
No. Me neither. Jerry Gray was talking about Kevin King, Mike. We brought him up. He had a forced fumble. He had an interception. We need to create turnovers with this defense. His story is interesting, guys. Played for the Packers. Has a history with Jimmy Lake. Obviously, Jerry Gray also knows about him. And it doesn't mean that they don't think maybe he can be a contributor to the secondary. Listen to what Gray said about King.
Well, versatile. You know, he could play corner. He could play nickel. He can play dime. We got money. And then if he can need to play safety, he can play safety. So that's the good thing about him, that he's very smart, understanding what he can do and what he can't do. And as long as we use him the right way, he's on our team. I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think he surprised a lot of people. People were like, who the hell is this Kevin King?
Right.
He was out of football for a couple of years and basically took a year off and said, I got to get my body right. And did, and now he's back, and everybody's like, okay. His last year in Green Bay, though, Mike, he was very good for them. So
it's almost the way you look at it, it's a second-round free agent if he can stay healthy. Don't think we're mean-spirited by saying, this dude hasn't played football in 2 years, because it's still a concern.
Yeah.
If he can regain his form, and they are certainly – look, he nearly had 2 picks in the preseason game. You got to love that. What do you think of Michael Penix Jr.?
I liked it. I like what I saw. I mean, here's what we've been stressing to our audience and certainly Falcon fans. He can throw it. He can spin it. He makes the throws,
guys. In the tight windows, too.
And you saw a little bit of that. It should get you excited to say, okay, if this is a regular season game, he didn't look panicked. And, Mike, I said this earlier. The operational stuff of a quarterback in a huddle, we just take for granted that guys come in and they command the huddle and they know what the hell they're doing and they can call the signals. Most of these guys coming out of college hadn't called plays. So for him, the operational stuff was there, which means I understand all this. I know what's going on. I know what we're trying to do with the football. That was a positive to me, even in the short amount of time that we got a chance to see him. This is what they talk about when they say a guy is ready to play in the NFL. There are quarterbacks who were drafted this year, Mike, who are not necessarily ready to play in the NFL.
No, Drake May, by everyone's estimation, is not ready for the prime time. One thing, I did see J.J. McCarthy throw two touchdowns, and his game looked – I mean, look, I'm not sold on McCarthy, but you cannot argue – and people will say, well, it's against third stringers. Well, he delivered the football on time accurately for touchdowns. Jaden Daniels looked great. Small sample size. Got in, got out. Caleb Williams looked great. Moving around in the pocket looked really sharp. So, and then Bo Nix looked good too. Bo Nix, give him credit. Maybe Sean Payton was just pulling his chain to have him third on the depth chart, but he looks like number one QB for me in Denver.
Georgia's number one, but what did Georgia Tech do today? We're going to tell you coming up as part of our Strong Arm Story of the Day, our conversation with Bijan Robinson coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Is here from Alabama, trying to – yeah, you hear him in the background.
We just personalized some 92.9 memorabilia, and it's priceless.
It is. It is. He's going to put it in his rumpus room. All right, Mike, speaking of Alabama, speaking of the dogs, the AP poll came out.
It was the top 20. I was working at CNNSI, John Fricky, and I said, let's make it five.
That's what he said.
I think we need 25.
That's what he's talked about.
It's top 25.
Georgia's number one. Is it surprising? No. I did think that Ohio State would be number one with the offseason they had. Guys, they spent more NIL money than anybody, and you can say that doesn't matter. It doesn't translate. It does in today's college football world. But Georgia sits atop of the poll. So you've got Georgia. You've got Ohio State. And then you've got Oregon at number three, followed by Texas, Mike. And then Alabama. Sorry, Jerome. Alabama's five, at least according to AP. Now, we know a lot of stuff is going to change, but here's the deal. Alabama, in their first season without Nick Saban since 2006, Jerome, comes in at number five. Ole Miss, Mike, they give the SEC four of the preseason top six teams.
I mean, that's why when you look at the schedule that Georgia plays, and look, we get into this all the time with folks who transplanted here from the Midwest, there's nobody in the Big Ten that, even with the addition of Oregon and USC,
sure,
that is playing any kind of stretch of four or five games that Georgia's playing, University of Florida is playing this year, that Bama's playing. It's just insane. And Bama going out of conference to take on Wisconsin.
I know.
Georgia's starting with Clemson. I mean, that's a meat grinder. Not those Mac patty cakes that Ohio State beats up on, if we're honest. But that's what they've been doing for years. Notre Dame comes in at number seven with a big-time quarterback. Penn State at eight. Michigan at nine. But a lot of folks say it's hard for Michigan to sustain that level of performance, knowing that Harbaugh is gone and all this NCAA crap's hanging over their heads.
Yeah, listen, they're a top 10.
Still got a good defense.
Team, but I don't think they're a national championship team. That's the difference. They are a top 10 team. But here's the kicker, guys, about the SEC. And then we're going to tell you what happened at Georgia Tech, because it bodes well for the future of what's going on with Tech. But you've got Georgia, you've got Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, right? Mizzou, who's 11, by the way. And Mizzou, I've been saying, you can sleep on them if you want to. Then you get to LSU at 13.
Mike. They got Nussmeier's taking over for Jaden Daniels at quarterback. And anyway, you know, I know that some feel that Coach Kelly missed out on some recruits to some other schools that he's still bellyaching about, but that's still a stout squad.
It is.
Got to play better defense. That's for sure.
15 is Tennessee. 16 is Oklahoma. Does any of this understand? Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you right here? These are all SEC teams.
Texas A&M comes in at number 20.
So
they're SEC.
Yes. In the top 25, this is dominated by SEC teams. And this is why, again, it gets back to, all right, Georgia, number one, handling the schedule. But, Mike, you got to win your first game, and that's up against Clemson. We talked to Connor Riley. Go check out the interview online at odyssey.com. And he was saying the Clemson defense is still very good. They've got a bunch of returning starters, and I agree with him on this. It doesn't mean that the Dogs, again, won't score, but maybe this is a closer game than we assume it will be just because of Clemson's defensive prowess. I don't think Clemson can score as much as we think they're going to on the Dogs, but I do think that if they're going to kind of be in this game, or if it's close, it will be because of their defense.
We got to have a quarterback. Is Cade Klubnik going to finally be everything that he was supposed to be? You know, that's, I mean, it's really not that complicated. You know, Florida State's going with DJ Uiagalelei.
Yes, they are.
Who is very inconsistent, is right at 60% in a percentage completion for his career. Haynes King, that's why I've been saying Georgia Tech maybe can, I mean, like, I'll tell you this right now. If I wasn't FSU, because I can't, you know, you can't bet against your school even if you got kicked out.
I took the 12.
Yeah, take the 12. Baby, if you want some consumer news you can use, take the points if you're, even if you're not a Tech fan. This is going to be the easiest money you're going to make all year. Florida State, the transfer portal that, yes, they brought in. You got a wide receiver transfer from LSU, wide receiver transfer from Alabama. But is DJU going to be as reliable as he's going to be needed to be in some of these games?
You don't sound pretty confident to me.
Well,
You're making this trip. You don't sound confident.
Well, I got to tell you, when you read the Florida State stuff, and like you read a Florida State blog that is run by the football program, and they're having a hard time telling you the good things that DJ Uwe Ungele did at practice.
That's the problem.
Well, he missed on a few intermediate passes. Did hit a nice long ball. You know, I mean, you can't even give me some basic good stuff this guy's doing. And then the backup thing is, you got all these untested guys. Yes, you've got a guy who played some last year. You've got some great recruits, but they're not. This isn't like last year showed you. You've got to have two great quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, look, I know that in the case of Gunnar Stockton, you hope you never have to see him, but I think you'll feel good about him if you're Georgia.
I agree.
But Haynes King to me is a better quarterback than DJU. More good news for Georgia Tech, Carl, today. Josh Petty from Roswell. Bro.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm telling you, Chris, I don't know if you want to get in on this action, but I think you might want to. But,
No. Bet Florida State, guys. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. But a big-time prospect, arguably one of the top three, some say the number two offensive lineman, Josh Petty, was talking to Tennessee, Ohio State, Florida State, and he goes to Georgia Tech. So Brent Key lands arguably the biggest recruit. Five-star since Calvin Johnson.
That's big.
Came into Georgia Tech, if you want to take it all the way back.
Yeah, and here's the deal. Up front, we talk about building from the front to the back. You got to get better offensively, defensively, with defensive offensive lines, and that's where it starts. This isn't a skill player. I expect Tech to be able to be in the mix, Mike, for any skill player in the country. That's just where they should be. When you start talking about this, these are difference makers. Where Georgia has outdone everybody.
The building blocks, the same thing that Kirby told Carl and I the first day. We tell you all the time, man, I got to get bigger. And they did, because they just didn't have the horses. They also pulled a guy from right down the street. It's a five-star defensive lineman, Christian Garrett from UGA. And this is a guy that was committed to Georgia, and they flipped him. That's pretty big. Now, I know the Georgia fans will say, look, that's good. You know, they'll be patting Georgia Tech on the head.
Oh, sure.
But you got to understand, you just brought it up. Where Kirby was and having to flip it, this is huge for Brent Key, who's really upped the recruiting, the profile of Tech.
Well,
and now the big thing is, now they need the signature win, like beating Florida State and Dublin to start the season.
Here's the thing that Kirby's built on, and, you know, hopefully Brent Key gets there. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Hooters, guys. Mall of Georgia location. Coming up, we're going to talk about what happened to the Braves. Very, very, very disappointing weekend when you talk about what happened with the Rockies. But, Mike, All he is doing right now, and I'm not saying this is it, but it's easy for Kirby when you're putting guys in the NFL on offensive and defensive lines like he is.
Right.
And when guys come in and they go, okay, great, I'm playing for a premier program, we got a chance maybe play for a national championship, and you're putting guys in the NFL, Brent Key has to start doing that. You got to recruit these guys, develop them, and then you start putting guys in the league, Mike, more guys want to come. You and I both know there was a time at Georgia Tech where offensive and defensive linemen went there because guys were going to the league consistently.
And to get a guy from Prince Avenue, like as we said, or the proximity, you maybe got a guy who's a three-star, you know, when you think about like the Paul Johnson years, guys, I get it. Different offense, you're different type of athletes, more nimble offensive linemen. But you're getting the big boy stuff, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
That's what Brent Key is bringing into the flats.
No doubt. Again, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama at 5. That's the top 5 according to AP. And remember, Carson Beck's playing behind one of the better O-lines in the country. Dominic Lovett, Dylan Bell, Mike, Arian Smith. These are the wide receivers that we'll be talking about. Okay, Ra-Ra's gone. We don't have to talk about the circumstances and situations. We wish him the best. These are the guys we're going to be talking about. And I think it's going to be how quickly Beck develops that chemistry with this receiving core. He had it with Brock. He had it with Brock, right? He had it with Ladd McConkey.
Right.
How quickly does that develop this season behind that offensive line and then how they run the football? That's one of the reasons why I do like the fact that Georgia's number one. I did not expect this. I thought Ohio State would get all the love to start the season just because of the hype surrounding Ryan Day. But they're going to have to earn it as well, you know. But they will kick off, by the way. I think one of their key games is against Iowa. That's October 5th. They got a cupcake schedule.
Right.
Until October.
Of course.
Dogs start with Clemson, and then you know they got to go on the road, play Kentucky. They got to – you look at this schedule. Alabama at the end of September. This thing, we're going to know really early, Mike, about how good this Georgia team is. I don't know if we'll know that about Ohio State maybe until the end of October.
That's a good point. And, you know, the dial-a-score type component, always consider great defense for Georgia. Who's going to emerge? Who's the guy right now? Kirby apparently was yelling at everybody. They had a big scrimmage. It was closed up. Unless you were a booster who has a really good parking space outside of Sanford Stadium, they got to watch it. And news did leak that Kirby was getting after it on the microphone on people. But that's what you expect, excellence, man.
You got to do it. All right, when we come back, Grant McCauley, we will talk about the disaster that happened in Colorado. How could we be up six runs and lose?
I can give you two words. Luke Jackson.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
There are two pass rushers that are potentially on the market. Well, at least according to reports, the Jets say they are not willing to trade their guy. The Patriots may be willing to trade theirs. We'll talk more about it coming up in 20 minutes. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Let's talk to Grant McCauley. Grant, I was out of town this weekend, and when I got word that the Braves had lost a game in which I looked at the score and said, oh, it's Colorado. Come on, we're fine. And then I saw we lost. I don't know if I've been more disappointed. I'm not going to say upset, but disappointed in that particular loss. And it has to more to do with the way that things have shaken out here over the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. How did you take it, and what did you make of it? Because it seemed like, all right, this is one in the bag, and then all of a sudden it snits it. Things just went astray.
Yeah, as you might know, I spent a couple of hours last night talking about it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you want my expanded thoughts, the things we can't get to in the next 10 or so minutes, you can find that podcast in the archives or on the Odyssey app. But I did look at this, and Carl, guys, you know how much it's consternation there's been to go around in the second half, and how some of these losses have definitely sat there for a while. This was the first one, I feel like, in that series where it was a loss that came from a win. Basically, just seeing a game just go away about as quickly as it possibly can in the span of about half a dozen pitches, turn from a game you felt pretty confident about to a game you're trying to figure out how exactly it is you lost it. So I don't know where on – I've been calling this the misery index that this one falls, but it was the latest in a string of real disappointments for this Braves team. And you heard Brian Snitker's comments after the game about, you know, we felt like we had it, and the next thing you know, the roof caved in. So there's a lot of ways you can discuss it, you can talk about it, you can quantify it. All of them are some adjective or synonym that follows along the lines of just terrible, because it was one of the worst losses we've seen. And it's been a string of things. It's been a trend for this Braves club in the second half, and they've got to figure out how to get it fixed if they want to do the things they want to do over the next 6 or 7 weeks, and, of course, in the month of October.
They are holding on to the final wild card spot, half game over the Mets right now. We've talked a lot about, like Luke Jackson, we know what he did. He was part of the night shift. His record, even though he gets a lot of heat, was exemplary. But this last game, Grant, it's pretty simple. You're bringing him in as a mop-up guy, and then he just absolutely just implodes, and then Joe Jimenez couldn't give you anything else. I mean, you put this one on the bullpen, because I thought Schwellenbach was great. We talked about Soler. I mean, he's been raking. And this one, you said it, just when you think you've turned a corner, you know, it just rips your guts out.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't even go as far as to say, do I think they've turned a corner? I mean, offensively, they showed some things that are exciting, but I will put the caveat on it that it's Coors Field. Weird things happen. If you need an example of a weird thing happening at Coors Field, the bottom of the eighth inning also came to that. But putting that off to the side, I mean, this was a game that it was on the bullpen. There have been so many times where this pitching staff has done its part and then some, and the offense hasn't been able to put up the runs. And I think that's why, to go back to that first question, why this one hurts a little bit more is this was a night or a day that you scored all the runs that you felt like you needed to. You score 8 runs, you should win a baseball game, and it just didn't happen. I mean, Luke Jackson, he's an accountable guy in terms of he knows it's on him. He wasn't trying to shy away from that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you were hoping to not have to use Joe Jimenez at all in that game, or Raisel Iglesias for that matter. You didn't want it to turn into a save situation or a tight game. You were hoping to get through it by using a couple of guys that, look, you've got to be able to trust everyone in your bullpen in a 6-run game. And they were one out away from getting out of it and just weren't able to figure out a way to get it done.
On those expanded thoughts last night, did you cuss? I'm curious. No?
Yeah, no. Someone would have had to dump that. So.
Grant, tell me about A.J. Minter, man. What's the deal with A.J. Minter?
Yeah, some disappointment for A.J. because this is the second time he's landed on the IL with this hip inflammation issue. It cost him the entire month of June. And I went up to Rome and talked to him, got a little bit of insight on what exactly he was feeling, what he was dealing with. And he said it was called hip inflammation because there was some other just muscle involvement all around it. And it took a while to get it to calm down and to get him back on the mound. He's been good this year. Strikeouts just down like just a smidge, but still punching out a batter per 9, ERA sub 3. I know he's had a couple of outings here or there, and I don't understand. I've watched this guy pitch for 6 years, and people feel like he's more of a liability than certain other Braves relievers. I just don't get that. I mean, he's coughed up a couple, but pick a relief pitcher that hasn't. This is a setback for a Braves bullpen that doesn't need a setback right now. And on the flip side of that coin, at least you have somebody like Dylan Lee who's having the year that he's having that you can put in there and hopefully have AJ get this whole thing calmed down and be back to help the Braves in a few weeks. But just not the thing they needed. And in a season in which injury has oftentimes been described as ill-timed, this is just another one for the Braves to try to get over.
It's our man G-Mac. It's Grant McCauley, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Hooters at Mall of Georgia.
Hooters.
You documented. It's been documented. They're 5 games under 500 since May 1st. They got off this amazing start. They were 19-9. And then it just becomes one of those years where the injuries are just too much to overcome. And then the lack of clutch pitching, having to rely on, you know, the kids from the minors who can't do the job. I've never heard Snicker more frustrated. You know, I mean, there's nothing. I don't know what fans expect Snicker to do. Grant, I mean, just hear, and it's really, he can't hit, he can't pitch for these guys, and these guys just maybe aren't that good enough.
No, and that's just been some of the cases that, you know, whether it's injury, whether it's regression, whether it's just, you know, having some moments that were just, you know, too big. And you got to put into account, you know, sometimes it is the other team. Like, those guys are typically good, too. They're all major leaguers. I'm just throwing that out there. You know, not every loss is your own fault. Sometimes you just get beat, and that can happen part of the time. But it just feels like the combination of all of those things has really just, you know, compounded on the Braves in a way that we haven't seen in quite some time. And I think that Brian Snicker was pretty candid about, hey, I mean, this is a terrible loss. It's a punch in the gut. We got to get over it. We got to put it behind us. We got to start a 4-game series with a Giants club that's been on the rise since the All-Star break, since the trade deadline, when myself, among other people, thought maybe the Giants are going to break this thing all down to the studs and start to sell off all their pieces. Instead, they sold off a couple, but then they've gone on a run here. Now they're a game and a half behind the Braves, I believe, in the wild card standings as the series begins. So they're right there, knocking on the door when they were 5 games out, heading toward the trade deadline, just in the wild card for the final spot. So things can turn around. Things can happen. The other thing I thought was really interesting that Brian Snitker talked about, and I want to make sure we kind of got to cover this, is especially with Ronaldo Lopez beginning a rehab assignment tomorrow with Gwinnett, they've pretty much gotten to the point, Mike, where it's no longer, hey, let's try to work in this guy and this guy and this other guy to try to get extra days of rest for these starting pitchers. You're pretty much to the point where you need to get the 5 that you believe in. And if you need somebody to jump in and help out a time or two, that's okay.
Right.
But you need to get the 5 that you can count on to ride to your October that you very much could see kind of slipping through your fingers right now. That means Chris Sale. That means Max Fried. That means Ronaldo Lopez, Charlie Morton, and Spencer Schwellenbach. That's the 5 that the Braves need to make that start through make that turn through the rotation and get this thing going.
And, Grant, we're up here at the Hooters Mall of Georgia, just down the street over there for Gwinnett. Man, Money Harris is raking. Problem is, we can't get him back till, what, 2 more days? Because that's the full 60-day DL that he was put on?
Yeah, he'll be back in a couple of days. I think it's kind of a double-edged sword because you wanted to give it ample time to make sure this entire hamstring issue was behind him. But, yeah, I think we can all look at somebody batting 435 in his rehab assignment and think, I bet the Braves could find something to do with a guy that's hitting like that. Fortunately, when we watched this Coors Field series, Jorge Soler's bat woke up. Matt Olson had some big games. Austin Riley, Marcelo Zuna still continuing to swing it well. Travis d'Arnaud's been swinging the bat well. Orlando Arcia. Now you throw Harris into this mix, maybe you start to feel a little bit more confident about this offense. I'm just kind of trying to see if maybe this is finally the time where, with the pitching staff in kind of disarray right now, or at least in need of some backup, that this offense could maybe carry the ball for a little while, because they could certainly use it as they get things sorted out on the pitching side for this final 6 or 7 weeks.
Olson or Riley finishes the year with 30-plus home runs?
Gosh, that's probably a push. I'll go Austin Riley because I just feel like he's capable of it. But, I mean, Matt Olson's shown that he can have some big months too and, you know, hit 10, 12 home runs. So I'll go Austin Riley just because I feel like he's the guy that's been swinging it better for longer.
Okay, and the reason why I simply ask that is, going into the season, if I said we would be struggling to get to 30 home runs from either one of those guys, you would have taken that bet. You would have said, hell no, there's no way.
Right.
These guys will be
approaching. I would have said who got hurt.
Correctly. Yeah, you would have said, and 40 home runs probably for both guys. So that is where we're at. When we're you know, August 15th is right around the corner here, and we're talking about, are we going to get to 30 home runs from two of the best power guys in Major League Baseball? That has been part of the issue, guys.
All right, Grant, Giants are in the mix with a wild card, right? So you got to worry about these guys. I mean, they're kind of everybody on the West Coast. I mean, the Dodgers we just expect, but the Padres are surging. What's going to happen with Snell going up against Sale?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of marquee matchup that I think both these clubs need right now is for their best starting pitcher to step forward and do it. And I think that for both teams, you're pretty much lining up at least three out of the four games to throw some of your best starters at one another. This is a big one for both these teams. If the Giants want to keep their foot on the accelerator, they're going to have to beat up on the Braves here. And if the Braves want to get things turned back around, heading in the other direction, and have a road trip that's even worth remembering, they've got to figure out a way to win a series in San Francisco and win a series against the Los Angeles Angels. So it's going to be an interesting week for the Braves because you pretty much got that time. I know Brian Sitker said it yesterday. We still feel like we've got time left to do something good. That time is ticking down. By the day, you're now in those dog days of summer, and when you look back and there's much more of the season behind you than in front of you, I feel like we all know the urgency is there, and the Braves have got to turn it on.
No doubt. Grant, great job. And I have to go back and listen from last night. I just want to see what you said.
It'll be there. I got 30 minutes with David O'Brien of The Athletic as well.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, because everybody was frustrated. Go check it out at odyssey.com. Buddy, we'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
You got it. Take care, guys.
All right. And again, we're not overselling this. Worst loss of the season.
Hands down.
It was.
Hands down. You blew a 6-run lead. I mean, and again, it's compounded because people want to throw a brick at the TV when it's Luke Jackson doing it. You know, and then Joe Jimenez came in. You can't blow a 6-run. You just can't. I know Coors Field, yes. Hitters Park, yada, yada, yada. You don't blow that game, man. Period.
Coming up, a couple of pass rushers may be on the market, including New England saying, well, we may be willing to trade our guy. Is there one that fits what the Falcons want to do? We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about what you might have missed over the weekend, including an incredible performance at the Olympics. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at odyssey.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.